The Bill Shakespeare Project presents This Week in Shakespeare for the week ending Monday, December the 1st, 2014. Hola, Bartophiles, and welcome to the 27th episode of This Week in Shakespeare, a podcast brought to you by the Bill Shakespeare Project. This is our weekly opportunity to let you know about the latest and greatest in Willie Shakespeare headlines coming at you every Tuesday. The goal here is to hit you with a quick blast, no more than 10 minutes tops, of Bard-related news. Plus, we'll try to serve up some historical dates for what was the past 7 days of the year. So, this week's news stories included: The Telegraph ran a story on a first folio, one of only about 230 in existence, being found in a French library. This was obviously the biggest news story of the week, heck, of the past few months, as it dominated news feeds for almost the entire week. But I wasn't about to link to all of them. The Atlantic ran a story on how this new discovery of a first folio in France ties into claims that Shakespeare was a secret Catholic. And if the Catholic debate wasn't enough, the Daily Mail in the UK ran a story on the recent resurgence of the "Was Shakespeare Gay?" debate, prompted by a new book that suggested that Sonnet 116 appears in a primarily homosexual context. AsianAge.com ran a story on a South African production of the Verdi opera Macbeth, which is set in the Democratic Republic of Congo with Macbeth as a warlord and the three witches foreign businessmen sowing discord with briefcases full of cash. Everyman and Playhouse announced its 2015 season, including A Midsummer Night's Dream. Everyman and Playhouse are located in Liverpool, England. Plaintalk.net announced South Dakota Shakespeare Festival's 2015 season, including Macbeth. The Guardian ran a clip from the documentary Muse of Fire with Tom Hiddleston, relating how Shakespeare seeped into his bones. The Washington Post previewed The Winter's Tale by Shakespeare Theatre Company, saying that the upcoming Rebecca Teichman-directed production is taking a stripped-down approach with 9 actors taking on the 25 roles. The Guardian also previewed The Winter's Tale, only this production is by Bell Shakespeare, where the Australia-based production will focus on domestic violence. The New York Times reviewed Pericles by the Public Theater, saying that the 8-person production is clear and lucid. The Baltimore Sun reviewed Coriolanus by Cohesion Theater Company, saying that this production achieves considerable impact. CityPaper.com also reviewed it, calling it a fine production. The Seattle Times reviewed King Lear, the touring version by Shakespeare's Globe, giving it a less than stellar review, and thus making me wonder if we saw the same play. My much more positive review can be found on both the blog and in the last regular Bill Shakespeare Project podcast. DCist.com reviewed As You Like It by Shakespeare Theatre Company, saying that the Washington, D.C. production serves as a great showcase for acting, but misses the play's comic verve. The York Press reviewed All's Well That Ends Well by York Shakespeare Project, saying that the production in York, England rises as pleasingly as a souffle. And finally, the Washington Free Beacon reviewed Julius Caesar by the Folger, saying that by cutting many of the crowd scenes, it has limited the production's ability to address the end of the Republic. Now let's take a look back on the last 7 days and how they relate to Shakespearean history, both his and the history in his plays. On November 25th, 1951, novelist Charlene Harris was born, known primarily for her Sookie Stackhouse novels, which are the basis for the HBO series True Blood. She also has written a series of mysteries starring a character named Lily Bard, set in the rural Arkansas town of Shakespeare. Save for the names of the detective in the town, there's no Shakespearean references. On November 26, 1928, John Barton, noted British theater director, was born. Along with Peter Hall, he co-founded the Royal Shakespeare Company. In the early 1980s, he ran a 9-session television workshop called Playing Shakespeare that is just a fantastic video resource. On November 27, 1582, the marriage license for William Shakespeare and Anne Hathaway was issued at the Episcopal Register in Worcester. Shakespeare was only 18 and Anne Hathaway was 8 years his senior and pregnant. On November 28, 1489, Margaret Tudor was born, the older of the two surviving daughters of Henry VII and the elder sister of Henry VIII. She would marry James IV of Scotland and birth to him James V. Her grandson James VI of Scotland would later become King James I of England. On November 29, 1820, British actor Edmund Kean made his triumphant American stage debut as Richard III in New York City at the age of 33. He was one of the great Shakespearean tragedians of the day, and he would die in England 13 years later. On November 30, 1929, the Douglas Fairbanks Mary Pickford film of The Taming of the Shrew was released in the U.S., at least according to IMDb, the Internet Movie Database. According to Wikipedia, it was a month earlier. Regardless, this is the first sound movie adaptation of a Shakespeare play under the same name. The two stars were married to each other at the time. And on December 1, 2007, British actor and director Anton Rogers passed away. He played Henry V on stage in Coventry in 1968. Yeah, I had never really heard of him either. Well, that was your week in Shakespeare. You've been listening to the Bill Shakespeare Project presentation of This Week in Shakespeare for the week ending December 1st, 2014. For our blog and previous TWIZ episodes, including links to the news stories we've covered, as well as the real Bill Shakespeare Project podcast, check us out at thebillshakespeareproject.com. And we'll catch you next week.